Live, local, high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. It is On the Marks. I am Jason Marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can listen to us online at 92.9thegame.com. 404-741-0929 is the number. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And like Jeff Benedict always says, like me, I don't have access to it, therefore I will not be able to see it. And calling in will be a little bit handy coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, as we're going to have an early edition of College Football Believe It or Not, where Patton will throw some scenarios at me about the 2018 college football season. And if I believe that result will come into fruition, you guys can also participate as well. Again, that number is 404-741-0929. Bo Estes from NBA TV and NBA.com will be joining us in the 1 o'clock hour to recap the conference finals in the East, preview the Western Conference final game tomorrow out in Houston, talk about the Lloyd Pierce hire for the Atlanta Hawks and the lottery and some of the draft prospects. And we're going to get into that a little bit later at 1:20. And, of course, with 1:40, our funnest segment, I believe it is, our Big Fat Stupid Society, where we look at the doldrums of civilization and their self-imposed inadequacies. But as we always like to do, we like to start the show off with the seven things you're talking about.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What the heck are you talking about?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
What are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
What you talking about, Will?
Number seven.
Well, later today, or earlier today, I should say, Atlanta United got a 2-1 win over Orlando City in a rainy Orlando, Florida. And this was a great scenario. A great way to cap off the week for Atlanta United, given what had happened with Brad Guzan getting the red card. They had to play with nine men for two-thirds of that match against Sporting KC, where they lost 2-0. Alec Kahn came in at goalkeeper. Even when Christensen did an admirable job in Guzan's place in a losing effort. But Kahn was on fire today as he gets the clean sheet. Defense getting the clean sheet. And the Orlando fans did not take their L all that well. A lot of whining. Was it Johnson from Orlando City, the guy who decided to do the dive and then came at the ref like mom would not allow him to go into the toy aisle at Walmart? And then Orlando City deciding to do their great Turner Field impersonation by throwing stuff onto the field over the infield fly in 2012. And this is what, really, this is in a way, I'm going to be happy when Nashville SC comes into the MLS in 2019. Because I believe that will be a gentleman's rivalry. Hey, you guys don't have to like each other, but you can play the gentleman's game. Orlando City has shown nothing of that. And the fan base really showed their ass out in a rainy Orlando this afternoon. Absolutely. What was it? The guy who, I don't know if it was Parkhurst, who basically Cobra Kai throat punched the guy in the penalty, which led to Joseph Martinez's penalty kick. Hey, Cobra Kai'd his ass, basically. And it got chippy as it went on. I like beating Orlando City. I'm at the point I had enough of the rivalry because the team and the fans are almost like children to me. I like a good rivalry when it's a gentleman-like rivalry. That's why I'm happy Nashville's going to be in there next season. Because Orlando City, nothing but a bunch of jerks.
Number six.
Nick Saban blocking a transfer from two SEC schools. Now, this is familiar with the Georgia Bulldogs and Kirby Smart. Because if we remember, Saban also blocked at one point Maurice Smith from coming to Georgia. And Kirby Smart has also blocked a transfer from going to join Mark Richt in Miami. Well, this is Brandon Kennedy, who was a backup center, who announced his intentions to transfer. And the schools that he was interested in was Tennessee or Auburn. But Nick Saban was like, no. We're not going to have it. And as much as outside of Tuscaloosa, everybody likes to pile on Alabama, I think that it's a bit unfair that Nick Saban is the poster child of this. Because he's not the only one who has done it. And I'm torn on the situation because we'll pull the curtain back here a little bit. In the radio industry, there are some that have to sign what we like to call non-competes. That means that if your intentions are to leave, you cannot go work for a competing entity. It sucks because if there's no use for you and you could be useful somewhere else, but you can't do it for a certain amount of time. Now, the NCAA, I understand, is going to step in and there are going to be some new transfer rules that are going to be coming up. I'm torn on it from the instance that, well, if the kid's not going to get any playing time, I get that maybe he wants to go somewhere to get the reps to be able to build his way up maybe to potential NFL career. But at the same time, and this may sound like get off my lawn guy, but there's no such thing as working hard to work your way up into the depth chart. And that's the other argument that's thrown out there. So I'm a bit torn on it, but I think the NCAA, and we know how much the NCAA likes to make friends, are going to step in and they're going to curb this from ever happening.
Number five.
Tiger Woods, so close yet so far away. He was one stroke from the cut line yesterday after his 7 under 65. And there was a point that he was knocking on the door for the championship. Webb Simpson eventually went on to win it. And I said this last night that when it comes to golf, Tiger Woods, I'll watch. And golf should be elated that Tiger Woods is doing well. But it's not as consistent as it once has been, which is, I think he's in the shadows of eventually becoming a novelty. Because we remember the Tiger Woods that we've grown to love. And you only see it in spurts now. But it was cool that he was able to make the run, but came up short. And some say, well, he may have one more major in it. I'm not 100% sure that's the case.
Number four.
Falcons rookie minicamp wrapping up. Calvin Ridley returning punts. That's an idea that's been floated around for Dan Quinn, which Falcons do need some help on the special team side of that. And also the Falcons sign Terrell McClain, a defensive tackle, which we remember in the conversation going up to the draft where the defensive tackle was what was the hole that needed to be filled, that void needed to be filled. They got Deidre Sanot in the third round out of South Florida, which he's shown some promise in these rookie minicamps. Russell Gage getting a little double duty as he's playing wide receiver and getting reps at cornerback as well. And a lot of undrafted free agents that are trying to make an impression with this Atlanta Falcons team and hopefully to get to the next step of making the 53-man roster.
Number three.
The Boston Celtics annihilating the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, 108-83. And a Marietta product, Jaylen Brown, had 23 points in that game, leading the team. And now I think if you're not convinced enough already, you should be convinced that Brad Stevens right now is the best coach in the NBA. because you look with your biggest offseason signing in Gordon Hayward going down in the first game. Kyrie Irving, your biggest trade acquisition in the offseason, going down. And remember, Philadelphia. The pundits were saying they were just going to run over Boston. They trusted the process. 5 games later, Philadelphia is looking to do some offseason shopping, which we will get into a little bit later. But right now, Brad Stevens proving right now he's the best coach in the
NBA. Number two.
Later today at 11 o'clock, the Hawks officially will announce Lloyd Pierce as their new head coach. Speaking of Philadelphia, he was an assistant coach during the growth of the process, you should say. And coming up at 12:20, I'm going to talk about how maybe the Hawks can do this one thing that might restore my faith in the rebuild as it has dwindled since Mike Budenholzer left.
Number one.
And the Atlanta Braves take 3 out of 4 from the Miami Marlins as they win 4-3 this afternoon. Sean Newcomb with an impressive outing with a one-hitter, and he has pitched 20 scoreless innings of work. Nice job by the young lefty. And to make things even better, the Braves are now currently tied for the best record in the National League with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who they will play coming up this weekend. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the one thing that the Hawks can do that will restore my faith in the rebuild. We'll also talk about the upcoming lottery and draft prospects, give you an opportunity to play a little GM and convince me why the Hawks should go this route with their potential lottery pick. It's On the Marks, high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Just waiting for the full-time signal from Kelly, and it's Michelle that's running through full-time in Orlando, humid Orlando. The Lions fall tonight.
I had to hear that one more time after Corey James played it. One thing I forgot to mention, if we want to talk about spoiled bratty children that are the fans of Orlando City, is that there were fans in the crowd that were yelling at Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. And how dare you yell at a treasure like Mike Conti and Atlanta's doctorate of everything football, Jason Longshore. Screw Orlando City. Did I get that out there? Okay, good. Live local, high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. It's On the Marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and online at 92.9thegame.com. As you heard, Atlanta United beats Orlando City by a score of 2-1 on the road. And then the Five Stripes still fighting for the MLS Supporter Shield. But that's not what we're going to talk about in this segment. As we talked about in these 7 things you were talking about, Lloyd Pierce will be announced as the Atlanta Hawks head coach at 11 o'clock today. And as I said last night, that my faith in the rebuild has dwindled after the departure of Mike Budenholzer. And the NBA draft is coming, or NBA draft lottery, I should say, is coming up on Tuesday night, and we find out where the ping pong balls will lie. Which, by the way, we're not actually going to get to see them. You know, we watch the Georgia lottery, and you see the ping pong balls flying in the little machine, and then they go through the vacuum thing and then come out, and they announce the number. We don't see that. All we see are the cards. It makes it a little bit suspicious. Maybe I'll bring that up with Bo Estes a little bit later. But as I talked about, my faith in the rebuild has dwindled. There is one thing that they could do that could restore that faith to the level that it was before Coach Bud decided to part ways. And it's a little bit speculative because, like I said, we don't know the place in the lottery coming up on Tuesday. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to play Travis Schlenk in regards to the draft. And yes, I know it's early. We don't know our number. But who do you want? I want to get a take the temperature of who's in Camp Ayton, who's in Camp Bagley, who's in Camp Michael Porter, who's in Camp Trey Young, Oren Romain, who's in Camp Jaren Jackson. 404-741-0929 if you want to chime in on that. But the one thing that the Hawks can do that will restore my faith, and I know some of you are going to disagree with me on this. I know Stan Norfleet does. Draft Luka Doncic. I am on board the Luka Doncic train. 6'8", 18 years old, small forward, moves like a point guard. And I know you talk about, well, you only watch the grainy video that comes out in Spain. The cat can ball. He's got serious skills. He can shoot. He can drop dimes. And this is a credit to Josh Majeb, which, by the way, I worked in Huntsville, Alabama. He played his college ball at the University of Alabama in Huntsville and was a top Division II player who could drop dimes. And you saw that in his time here with the Atlanta Hawks. Luka Doncic can drop some dimes, and he can also be the deep threat. A pinpoint distributor. And I know that there's a fear of the European players. Darko Milicic has kind of done that to a lot of people, where you draft the European guy high, very, very high. And I think who was the guy from the Sacramento Kings that was a first-round pick, and he recently got cut, Papagenis or something. I can't really remember to pronounce his name. So I can understand that there may be that fear. But Dario Saric and Kristaps Porzingis turned out to be pretty decent. Those are the recent ones we want to talk about. If we wanted to kind of get over this fear of the European players. Now, you may be asking, why Luka Doncic? Why not DeAndre Ayton? Why not Marvin Bagley? Why not Michael Porter Jr.? I'm not sold on Ayton. And I think a lot of it had to do was when I watched his tournament game at Arizona against Buffalo. And I saw guys that were about as tall as me that were taking him to the paint, that were laying him up. And it kind of turned me off. It kind of turned me off in a way. Now, do the Hawks, could they use a big five? Absolutely. Because I don't think that Miles Plumlee is the answer. But for a rookie big man, which, by the way, he's agile. He does have the mid-range shot. He can go up and grab boards. I'm not going to say that he's going to be the next coming of Sam Bowie. But watching that just left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. Marvin Bagley, which I am a Duke basketball fan, and I enjoyed watching him. With the pick of John Collins, maybe would you put him in a small forward, power forward? I'm not 100% convinced that he's the fit. And by the way, Lloyd Pierce was in Philadelphia the last time Philadelphia drafted a Duke player in Jahlil Okafor, highly touted, very, very talented. Just hasn't worked out to what most people have thought. But I'm not convinced that Bagley's the fit. And Michael Porter Jr., the back problems are a bit of a concern for me. For a 19-year-old guy to have back surgery, to put him out for a season, That's a bit of a red flag to me. And not really being able to see much when he was at Missouri. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Lawrence in Mapleton. You're on the marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, personally, I'm going with Bagley. I mean, most you know, depending on how the chips fall, I mean, I think Bagley, you know, being a lefty, you know, being able to play with his bag a little bit to the basket and, you know, play above the rim, I think that'll be, you know, pretty much a real potent combination down there, you know, on the boards and stuff and, you know, Dennis throwing lives and everything. I will say I will follow up with that 19th pick for, like, Mitchell Robinson, another big, just, you know, just for some insurance, you know, or try to package up for Robert Williams, like another big. I really like Mikal Bridges, but I'm thinking two bigs, one lottery big, and just a outside free agent big, just to, you know, kind of back up, you know, if Bagley somehow, you know, don't work out, then you got another guy waiting right behind him that's even bigger. So,
okay,
I'm thinking about those two.
All right, well, I appreciate the call, and those are interesting. And well, the thing about after you get out of the lottery with the NBA. As you've seen in recent seasons, it's a toss-up. And yeah, you had Donovan Mitchell, and you have the going into the second rounds. You have the Draymond Greens and the Isaiah Thomases that worked out for a little while. You get after the lottery, it's a bit of a crapshoot. Now, personally, with the next pick, which it may not fall into our lap, he may be gone by the time you get to that next pick. Which I believe is at 19, Colin Sexton out of Alabama. I'd like him as a point guard. But I didn't really, really focus on 19 and 31 because, like I said, it's a crapshoot. It is a 50-50 toss-up once you get out of the lottery. This pick, wherever it lands at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, God forbid 13. This is going to be the pick that's going to lay out the foundation for the team for the next few years to come. Now, and throughout history, the Hawks have hit on some, and they've missed on many. But, so Lawrence goes with Bagley, which I was on the Bagley bandwagon at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of the rebuild. I was all on board. I was on board with it. But here's why I'm hoping for Luka Doncic, because we've done research and I've had conversations with coworkers here in the bullpen in regards to Dennis Schroeder. Now Schroeder and Bazemore, to their credit, this season, they had career years. To their credit, there was production. And Bud in a way was maybe able to keep Schroeder in check. Maybe he was more of a fit into his system. But I think that there's going to come a point, and I think it's going to be a lot sooner than later, that maybe it's going to be time to move on from 17. And if you're going to move on from 17, there's an 18-year-old Slovenian, 6'8", and can play point guard, move like a point guard, that can distribute the ball, and also has some range. And see where I'm getting at here. I'm out the door on that one, Patton says. That's fine. You call and tell me how much of an idiot I am and tell me why I'm an idiot. Feel free to do so. 404-741-0929. But I think that's been kind of the... And that's the other thing. How will Dennis Schroeder react to the new coach? How will Kent Bazemore react to the new coach? Because there's in some instances where the chemistry can either go really, really well, or like in, you know, in a science experiment, you can pour in the wrong element, and the next thing you know, your beaker's blown up. That's something that's on a wait-and-see approach, but it's something that you can never rule out. And like with DeAndre Ayton, yeah, John Collins was a great pick last season. That's turned out to be a terrific pick. But we got excited when John Collins hit threes. We got excited with the dunks. But maybe we're looking for a little bit more versatility when it comes to the next building block.
My name is Luca.
Well played. Well played there, Greg Patton. Producer extraordinaire. You don't live upstairs from me, Luka Doncic, but you can be welcome to come here to the Atlanta Hawks if you fall into our lap. 404-741-0929. Coming up next, Dear Orlando Ledbetter joined Rob Tribble. Talk a little bit Falcons and rookie minicamps. You'll hear that next, right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
What it was, I think it's because I'm clumsy.
Still with hands on hips. Rise to his left, steps up to the ball, strikes it, and scores! 1-0 Atlanta United in the 11th minute.
Put me out of my misery.
Oh, those Orlando City fans. Oh, their tears are so salty and delicious. Live, local, high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. It's On the Marks. I'm Jason Marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we put Orlando City out of their misery on Sunday by a score of 2-1, and they reacted so, so appropriately. Rob Tribble earlier today was joined by D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to talk a little Falcons mini camp, and they also had a signing on Friday of defensive tackle Terrell McLean, who previously played in Washington and for the Dallas Cowboys. And Rob first asked D-Led, is this what's going to fill the void for the defensive tackle going forward?
Yeah, I think, they've got some bodies now. The rookies in there and McLean is a good addition. It surprised me that they went away from Courtney Upshaw, who I thought did a pretty good job. I don't know if he priced himself out of the market or what. But, I thought he did a good job here the last couple of years holding the fort in that rotation. But maybe I think McLean might be an upgrade from Courtney in that regard. So, the more bodies, certainly, losing Poe was the biggest loss over the offseason. And now they at least have a couple guys to help Jack Crawford out.
Compare Terrell McLean to Don Terry Poe. I know it's not necessarily an upgrade by any stretch, but is it maybe a lateral move? How would you describe it, compare the two players?
Yeah, I think, Don Terry had been at a Pro Bowl level at some point in his career before the back injury. We haven't seen McLean ascend to that level yet, and he's headed to his third team. So, you got to pretty much put him in that kind of the yeoman's journeyman category for now.
All right. A lot of fans are concerned now that Matt Ryan has his money. They feel like the Falcons are not going to have the money to re-sign the Grady Jarretts and those key young defensive pieces. Can you put their worries at ease? Because it seems like there is a way to get it all done.
Yeah, they won't be able to sign everybody. They got to pick the right one. So,
yeah.
There is cause for concern, and you got to replace the right players too with younger talent, cheaper talent as you move forward. The key for the Falcons and for the Falcons fans is that they want to see the salary cap continue to grow and get higher. That way, you'll be able to fit more people underneath it and retain more of the players. But if they're core guys, the Falcons have found a way under Thomas Dimitroff to get those deals done, some of them under market, some of them right at market value. They may have overpaid Freeman last year, but, they didn't overpay, say, Robert Alford or Ryan Schrader when they redid those contracts. So, Jake Matthews is next, Gary Jarrett's next, then You know, Vic Beasley is down the road. Keanu Neal, you know, you at least got 2 years apiece. And we'll see this salary cap uproar come back in probably 3 years down the road, Rob.
Sometimes, D-Led, I think when I think about Matthews, and they're going to re-sign him probably, hasn't he been just a little bit better than a lot of people think? He was drafted so highly, and the fact that he's maybe not an all-world tackle, people seem to maybe diminish what he actually has contributed.
No, I think they're right on. He hasn't been all pro, and Taylor Lewan has surpassed him. You know,
yeah.
They could have had Taylor Lewan, and they didn't take him because I think he was kind of a Michigan bad boy deal. And,
that's right.
You know, they went with they had passed on to Matthews before, and it didn't work out so well. So, you know, you can't blame him for taking Jake. But, you know, he hasn't been a pro bowler. You know, he hasn't played at an elite type, you know, knockdown, drag out level that you want. You know, you'd like to have Anthony Munoz, but maybe you just have a very good left tackle, and that's what he's been thus far. If he's got more, we need to see it here pretty quickly.
Certainly. Now, Falcons looking at Calvin Ridley as a returner. Now, they didn't want to risk doing that with Taylor Gabriel. Why are they willing to do that with Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I think coaches just want to look at stuff. They're not. I couldn't come up with a real reason why they would put him back there, you know, just the unless something, you know, you can just use him as a spot returner. You know, you need one, you got to break one in the fourth quarter, and you throw him back there to do it. But, yeah, the coaches want to experiment. Coach Quinn and his staff are not afraid to do that. I can't imagine you putting me on your first-round pick back there to return punts.
Yeah.
Maybe kickoffs, but we'll see how that develops, you know, over training camp.
I guess you can say the NFC West, NFC South, probably the two most competitive, best divisions in all of football, maybe a couple of outliers. Last year, of course, three teams go to the playoffs. Now, you tweeted something about a month and a half ago, and you alluded to, is the rest of the NFC starting to leave the Falcons behind or surpass the Falcons? Can you explain that, and what is your opinion on all that?
Well, you know, certainly the Eagles were better than them. They beat them the last 2 years, and, you know, they're stockpiling people over there.
Yep.
They got Michael Bennett. They got both of the quarterbacks now. They're adding more weapons, so they are a Super Bowl champ. So the East is, you know, they're carrying the mantle in the East. Dallas and the Redskins and you know, are chasing. The Giants should be much improved with Barkley. And I think the fact that the Rams are out there loading up in a free agency after losing to the Falcons and doing everything they can to reshuffle their deck, getting rid of Ogletree and bringing in Sue and, you know, shoot, Aaron Donald terrorized the Falcons in the playoffs. If they don't get the two special teams mistakes, they, you know, they don't win that game out there. But, you know, so, yeah, The Rams seem to be making a move. The Eagles are making a move. And now the Falcons, you know, went toe-to-toe with the Eagles, 15-10, and throwing into the end zone at the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've got to get better internally. They're not getting better from outside acquisitions, and that's their plan moving forward.
Indeed, I look at the rest of the division. I'm you know, the Saints basically were in the NFC Championship game last year had it not been for that Marcus Williams brain freeze. They may have made a panic pick by drafting that defensive end out of University of Texas San Antonio, Marcus Davenport. What is your take on the rest of the division, and what are the Buccaneers going to be, too? They were supposed to be something special last year, and, of course, that didn't pan out.
Yeah, I still the Saints are, you know, pretty much there. The Davenport pick didn't make a lot of sense. You know, they paid way too much for it, but, you know, they get a kid that can rush the passer, played for Larry Coker, who had, you know, the old Miami coach was out there at San Antonio and, you know, had Calais Campbell working out with him. So he's, by all accounts, a pretty elite pass rushing talent. Now making the jump to the NFL will be key for him. But the Saints clearly feel they're right there, and that's all they need, and this was the missing piece. So we'll have to see how that works out for them. Carolina, they continue to add weapons, you know, getting DJ Moore from Maryland for Cam, you know, and they're trying to diversify that offense. I want to see Cam function in a real NFL offense under North Turner, where he's making decisions and checking down and throwing the ball on time as opposed to leaning on running. You know, he's not going to play very long running as much as he's been running. So we'll see how that works out for Carolina. And then in Tampa Bay, Coach Smith is finally getting him some help on the defensive yeah. side of the ball. All their drafts have been very, you know, offensive heavy. And he's starting to get some players down there, and they'll have to Coach Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, former Falcons head, is down there trying to get that defense up to par, make a big jump on that side of the ball while their quarterback matures and learns to grow up and play at a higher level on an NFL level on a regular basis. That's the key for Tampa Bay.
I think the two most intriguing draft picks, and I want to hear your opinion on them because you laid eyes on them. Russell Gage, they're looking at him at cornerback and wide receiver, trying to capitalize on this speed. And, of course, the Deidre Sinat kid out of South Florida. Tell me about your observations of those two young men.
Yeah, Sinat was, you know, he came highly recommended from Stephen Nicholas, who was on the staff at South Florida, the former Falcons linebacker, you know, spoke well and highly of Sinat. He's a, you know, he's a plugger. He's kind of a fire hydrant guy. He's a little short, but he's big, doesn't get pushed around, looked really good working the drills here over the weekend and so forth, you know. It's kind of like watching gym class, you know. They all look good in the
That's right.
You know, and short.
Getting off the bus, they all look good.
Hitting the dummies. But, yeah, Russell Gage was a had a chance to talk with him, well-spoken young man. I know that they have plans for him on special teams. If he's playing cornerback, they're probably in trouble. Something happened really bad. And wide receiver, he's got the speed to get open. And I asked him, was it a function of no quarterbacks at LSU? And he didn't throw his quarterbacks under the bus. He said, you know, they ran the ball a lot with Fournette and Geist and all that, so they didn't really have to throw that much. But, yeah, they want to see what they got because the kid can fly.
You can follow him on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. DOrlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the AJC, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talk to me about fullback. Who's going to be that guy, and how important is a fullback going to be? And another question, how different is Steve Sarkisian's offense going to be this year? How much are they going to tweak it?
Yeah, I don't think the fullback's here. I think the fullback is going to be a veteran who gets cut, you know, at the cut-down period. The two kids here is one from Nebraska and one from Stanford, and they're a little bit bigger than the old fullbacks the Falcons have had. And I did notice in the rookie minicamp they had some eye formation stuff working. They were doing the toss sweeps and the stretches out of the eye and the broken eye, which, you know, were staples of this offense and what Patrick DeMarco did for the team so well in 2016, you know, getting those guys a little millisecond to get outside and get up the field and press that hole a little bit better. So that outside stretch run's got to work in this offense, and they need a fullback to do that. Both of these kids blocked well in college at Nebraska and Stanford, but, you know, I just don't think you make that jump up. We saw Brady Ewing have trouble with that a few years back. So I think the fullback's on somebody else's roster right now. The offense, I don't think they're going to tweak much of it. They're going to try to execute it a lot better and at a higher level, you know, with the crossing routes, the bootlegs, and the rollouts. And, you know, he's got to do a better job of flow, getting in the flow and staying in the flow and maybe springing guys open, which we saw Kyle Shanahan do so greatly in 16. You know, the numbers didn't look really bad, but it's just like they lurched. They do it. They were streaky. They stopped. They got hot. They stopped. They just never maintained a consistently high level of offense under Steve Sarkisian. So that's one thing I know they'll be working on. And Greg Knapp, the former offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, will be here to help him with that this season.
That was DOrlando Ledbetter earlier with Rob Tribble. You can hear that entire interview, in case you missed it, over at 92.9thegame.com. Coming up next, now that the Sixers are out, they're doing a little off-season shopping, and they got their expectations aimed high. We'll talk about it next, right here. That's On the Marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Live local high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. It's On the Marks. I am Jason Marks, not wearing my unbuttoned shirt and Birkenstocks, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and online at 92.9thegame.com. So, I stumbled upon an article in Yahoo Sports, and multiple outlets are reporting this now, that the Philadelphia 76ers, now that they have been eliminated by the Boston Celtics, are aiming their expectations high for the offseason, where they are eyeing LeBron James, Paul George, which that marriage with Oklahoma City was a little bit underwhelming, and possibly trading for Kawhi Leonard. So Philadelphia, it seems that they want to get the second installment of Super Friends, because LeBron is obviously having trouble beating the axis of evil that is the Golden State Warriors. With Aquaman, he was an old DC Comics that was rejected. 3D Man, that was another one. He can't win with them. And he could beat Toronto, but he can't win with them. All right, go ahead, call now, 404-741-0929, because we got our college football, believe it or not. Give me your scenarios on the upcoming 2018 football season, and I'll tell you whether I believe them or not. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And 92.9thegame.com. Maybe you could even...